In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for all the promises of God in him are what?
Yes.
Oh, you're getting it. They're in him, they're what?
Yes.
And in him they are what?
Amen.
So here's a promise that Jesus gives. Matthew chapter 16, he said, I will. Anytime that Jesus says he will, I will, you got to look at it and go, well, that's a promise. If he said it, he's going to do it. What did he say? He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. When he used that word church, that word is the word ecclesia. It means called out ones. But when you understand that we are the church, it's an invitation into fellowship with Christ, but also fellowship with one another. Understand, when you are the church, you are not isolated. You are in community, that you are designed to do relationship like this, the circle that Pastor Don, our connections pastor, did. Like I'm here to worship God, but I'm here to connect with others, but I'm also here to reach down and to encourage somebody and pull them up out of the pit, because I don't know about you, but I've been in the pit before, and the most amazing thing that happens is when somebody encourages me, somebody lifts me up, somebody takes care of things in my life. Guess what? That's when the church works. How many believe that's good? Come on now. So here's what I believe. I believe Jesus gives us a blueprint about the church. But in Hebrews, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer gives us a real clear understanding that when we're discouraged, when we're going through things, like the church that this letter is written to, the letter of Hebrews is written to a group of Hebrews that have left Judaism and have joined following Christ. They become Christians, but they found out that it's not that easy. How many know following Jesus isn't always easy? But the beautiful part is he said, I'll never leave you. So it's we've got to remind ourselves, yeah, it's not easy, but God is with me. Yeah, it's not easy, but I've got a healer in my life. Yeah, it's not easy, but he is still the provider. Yeah, it's not easy, but he can speak into what's not there, and it can appear, and it can move, and it can be alive, and I can find hope, because when I find hope, I find Christ in every way. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, it's that chemistry, it's that model that he creates, and the church is the most powerful, I want to say, entity, but organism, not organization. It's in the most powerful life-giving force on the planet that is designed to just change everything. Understand this, the power that Jesus puts inside of you, the faith that he puts inside of you is able to change everything and everybody around you. It's when we realize that we are the church. The goal is to be the church, not just go to church. If we just go to church, then we're flipping it and saying, what's in it for me? We live in a world that just wants to know, well, what's in it for me? You know what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you that there's so much more in it for you when you realize that God wants to do something through you. Because every single person in this room has the ability to encourage somebody next to you. Now, let's do this. Like, look at your neighbor. You got to do this. Look at your neighbor. Come on, some of you aren't looking. Come on, play this game. Look at your neighbor. I want you to smile. You know what you did? You just encouraged them in the Lord. Come on now. Some of you are like, I don't like smiling. Come on. You just need to smile a little bit more. And the reason why you need to smile a little bit more is because you know that Jesus got a greater plan. So let's look at this. In Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read a few verses. I've got a few minutes, and then we're going to go join a circle. Hebrews chapter 10 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, look what he says, let us, everyone say us. Let us, he's talking to this church and these people, he's saying, let us, that means together, draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Look at verse 23. It says, let us, can you say us? Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let who? Consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up, meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What he's saying? He's saying this. I say yes to building community. He's encouraging the group of people to not isolate themselves. He's encouraging them to connect with others. He's encouraging them to be in community, because when they were discouraged, they were isolating, they were avoiding. Why would he say, don't forsake getting together? Keep on meeting together, because their discouragement was isolating them. Their discouragement was giving them validation to say, well, I am discouraged, so I'm just going to focus on my discouragement. He's like, let go of that and hold on to faith. Come on, first thing we got to realize is that when I say yes to being the church, I've got to say yes to hold on to the right things. When he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, what is the one thing that we hold on to that can make a difference in everything? It's not the opinion of somebody else. It's the faith that we profess. It's the faith that we believe. It's the faith that we live out. When you profess something, you're living it out. You're making a decision. It's going to be walked out in the good times and the bad times and the sad times. I'm going to live out my faith. So he's saying, hold on to the hope that you have. Don't allow anything else to keep you from it. Let go of things that will cause you to just be pulled away. But when you hold on to hope, you realize, wait a minute, my life is made for a greater purpose. And my purpose is to encourage people around me. My purpose is to encourage myself in the Lord. My purpose is to live the life that Christ has for me. How do we do that? Hold on to the hope. I got hope. In the midst of discouragement, I got hope. In the midst of bad things, I got hope. Why? Because I have Jesus. Because I have faith in him. It's not faith in faith, it's faith in Jesus. So when I believe in him, I believe in what he has done and what he will do. What has he done? If you go all the way back to Genesis, guess what? He was there when the Father looked over the empty void of everything and spoke into nothing, and boom, there it was. That's the Big Bang Theory, hey man. He just spoke into it and boom, the whole world came into existence, and he created all these things for man, and then he creates man in his own image, breathes life into him. Man stands up for the first time and has hope in a God that created him. You are created in God's image for good things. That's why you have hope. That's why Jesus came. So the next time you feel discouraged, come on, everybody, there's not a person on this planet that is like not going to face discouragement. Like all of us face it at times. Like our finances will discourage us. Our relationships will discourage us. The future sometimes will discourage us. And it's if we focus on the things we can't change, those are the things that'll discourage us. But if we focus on the one who can change everything, the one who can change everything, the one who can change your situation, stop looking at what you can't change, holding on to that, and then you get discouraged, and you pull away because you feel discouraged, because you want to validate the way you feel. I don't want to be validated. I want to be inspired. I want to be inspired in a way that I can stand up when things aren't going good, and I can say, not today. Greater is he. He lives in me. I'm holding on to his hope unswervingly. Hello? I'm going to hold on to it. There's nothing that's going to get me out of the way. I'm moving towards Jesus. How many's going to move towards Jesus? Come on now. So he tells the church, says, hold on. Hold on. Look at your neighbor and tell him, hold on. I believe this. When we say yes to a circle, here's what we're saying yes to. We're saying yes to people that can help us hold on with our faith. We're saying yes to people that can encourage us when we're discouraged. We say yes to encouraging others. You know, I'm in several circles. I'm leading a circle. My wife and I always lead a circle, and then I'm a part of several circles. And the most amazing thing, understand this, I'm the pastor. I for some reason I get paid to do this. Hello? And it's a beautiful, I love what I get to do. But I love being in a circle. And the reason why I love being in a circle is because the people that I'm in a circle with, I usually leave more encouraged than when I came because of the investment that they put into it. Because of the life, it's just life itself that encourages me. I need encouragement. How many need encouragement? Come on now. Man, I had enough discouragement growing up. Man, I had people in my life that told me my life wasn't going to make nothing, going to be nothing, and I wasn't going to make anything. I was just like, I had enough of that growing up. Hello? But now, today, I'm going to hold unswervingly onto the hope that I profess because God's got more. And what's going to help me hold on to that hope is the people around me, the encouragement around me. So get this. I want to encourage you. God's got a circle for you. So which circle will you say yes to? So when I say yes to being the church, here's what I say. I say yes to hold on, but I say yes. This is a tough one. I say yes to spur on. Look at this. He says, let us consider. This is like, if you read the King James, it says, let us consider how we may provoke one another. I mean, like that's an awesome word. You know what I'm saying? Like the writer is like giving us like, he's like not playing games. Hello? Let us spur. I think the NIV kind of like softens the blow, you know, but in the King James, you're like, provoke one another on to love and good deeds. The word spur does mean to provoke. It means to incite to good. It means the effect of an irritation. We are the most distracted people that have ever lived on planet Earth. Let me just vent a little bit. We, all of us, it doesn't matter how educated we are the most distracted people. Why? Because when you can go to any red light and you can sit there and the person in front of you will sit there too long. Hello, when the light turns green, you're like, 1,001, 1,002. Most people don't do this. I do this. You hit the 1,003, you get the horn. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're in the Dominican Republic, you get the horn regardless. It's like through the thing. Like that's not our culture. Like we're telling you to move. We are spurring you. We are provoking you. I went to a theme park this week with our pastors, and there were moments I'm like, come on, let's go. You know, like the line's moving. Hello, who's with me? Go, move. You're like that's what spurring feels like. Looks like, and you feel like you're in control. But I think we've got to understand that the writer is not talking to us just simply that when we are like distracted and discouraged, because the one thing that distracts us is discouragement. See, the enemy wants to distract you by some doctor's report, by some financial report, by something that your job like comes up with, you know, like this could happen. And then we play all these scenarios in our head of all these things can happen. We focus on all these things that we can't control. And the devil's like laughing because he's got you distracted by something that you can't even control. But the moment that you start fixing your eyes on Jesus, look in Hebrews chapter 12, the author and finisher of your faith, he starts it, he finishes it. So somewhere in the middle, when I'm discouraged, somewhere in the middle, when I'm facing a trial, somewhere in the middle, when I'm struggling, I've got to realize that he started this faith. Guess what? He's going to finish it. And I've got to remind myself that I can keep going. I need to spur myself. But this word is to incite for good. You know what a circle does? A circle encourages me before I need encouragement. A circle keeps me on the path and encourages my life that things are moving in the right direction. Even when, you know, sometimes we go to church. What would happen if we did this? Sometimes we go to church and we go like, man, the world just kind of sat on me this week, you know. And we feel the pressure of life itself. And we're like, I want to walk into the room and I want to feel lifted and encouraged. And we come with this expectation that we want to receive. And I believe that's a holy thing that can happen in your life. But what if you're in that place and you walked into this place and you said, who can I give encouragement to? Who can I allow to, you know, I'm in a struggling place, but guess what? There's people that they're probably worse off than me. They're probably struggling with things that I'm not struggling with. But God put me on this row. Hello? God put me, there's people sitting next to me, they're worshiping. They need to hear me worship. Why do we worship loud? Because the people around us need to worship loud. Why do we turn the music up loud? People are like, let's talk about method for a minute. Why do we turn it up loud? People are like, I don't like it loud. I like it loud. You know why I like it loud? Because I don't like hearing myself. Let me say, I like singing loud. Hello? But it's awkward when I hear myself, hello? And I think sometimes I'm like, it's a beautiful thing when I can express myself in any key that I want, hello?
You musicians in the room, just get over it. Hello? David said make a joyful noise. I love making a joyful noise. But on the introverted side of me, I'm like, turn it up so the people around me don't have to feel my pain, okay? But the Lord is enjoying this moment that I'm having with him. What are you saying, Pastor? We need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to, I like that word, provoke. Let me go back to that. Today, I just want to provoke you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You should post this online. If you're online, post this. Like, I went to church today, and the pastor provoked me. What did he provoke you to? Love and good deeds. Love does not, and I think this is a song, I don't know, but love does not operate in a vacuum. It doesn't operate in an isolated space. Love only operates in community. You can only feel love when you're around people. You can only express love when you're around people. The greatest part of the church is the love that we express when you walk through those doors. Join a team in a few weeks, because you need to be that person that expresses that love to brand new people, because that's a beautiful thing when you walk into a place for the first time and you feel like, man, I'm at home. Man, God's speaking to me. But when we provoke someone, he's saying we should provoke one another. We should spur one another to love, to encourage. That's what a circle does. We provoke one another to keep loving, to keep serving, to keep moving, and not just that, to good deeds. And in terms of good deeds, it's the good things we do. I can't tell you the times where something happens in somebody's life, in the circle that I'm in, that they drop in and say, hey, I need to move something. I need to fix something. Does anybody know somebody? I remember going to somebody's house on the second floor because everybody in the circle is like, hey, I'm kind of busy, and they needed to move something from the second floor to the first floor, and I showed up. They're like, you showed up. I'm like, that's what a circle is for. Hello? Tina's clapping because it was some cabinet or something. I don't know what it was. I'm like, man, I've moved stuff before. Come on now. And the greatest joy is realizing that I get to do good things for people. And it didn't cost me anything but time. See, that's what a circle does. We like we get so busy. I want to encourage you as a pastor, maybe provoke you that when you join a circle, it's so that God can do good things in you, but he can do good things through you, that you can encourage one another in the Lord, because the strength of this house is the community that we build together. We may end up having to build another building one day. Praise God if we do, because it'll cost millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and billions. I don't know, not billions, but millions of dollars, because construction is expensive nowadays. But I'm just telling you that we are here together. And when we encourage, what does he say? One another. That means we're together in this thing. Look at your neighbor and say, we are together in this thing. We don't just talk about it. We do it. So we need to be together in all these things. What would happen if you came to church looking for someone to just encourage? Looking down the aisle and going, man, I my worship can encourage somebody. My prayer can encourage somebody. My passion, see, I just know this, and Chandler and the worship team, you can come. My passion is energized when people around me are passionate about Christ. I'm telling you, when we are passionate about him and loving him and serving him and moving towards him, guess what? We bring people along, because we encourage people around us. Like, is this thing going to work? You know, and can I encourage you? There's not like this 30-day trial thing when it comes to faith. There's no trial. Like, you get in, you go all in, and that's it. It's not like I'm going to try it for 30 days and see if it makes my life better. Then you miss it, because it's not about a trial. It's about a relationship with Jesus, that he wants to be a part of your everyday life, the good stuff, the messy stuff, and all those things, so that you can find hope and encouragement in the midst of all things. So when I say yes to be the church, yeah, I say yes to hold on. I say yes to spur on. But I also say yes to just keep on meeting, to keep on gathering, to keep on in his presence. Look, it says in verse 25, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. You know what the writer's saying? He's saying, don't quit. Don't quit. When you get up on a Sunday morning and you feel like, man, it's been a long weekend. It's been a long week. I just think I want to serve the Lord online today and just lay in bed. I'm not hating anybody online, okay? So just realize this. But I just feel like I want to stay here. It's that moment that we make the decision. If you have kids in your house, it's the most holy thing you can do. I want to encourage you. The enemy will do everything to try to get you to distract you from getting your kids and keeping them in the house of God. But it's that moment that we keep that rhythm in play and we keep moving forward, that when they get older and they move out of your house and you become an empty nester, that you see them sitting somewhere in the house of God, serving God, loving God, because you built that into them. Let's say, Jesus said, I will build my church. I love the fact that he invites us into this relationship to build us. He invites us in this relationship to build our families. We're all building something. He invites us into this thing so that we can put effort into it, so that we can see heaven show up in it. But understand this, in the context of this verse, we read it, but we just kind of like jumped past it. And in verse 22, it all is framed around the simple phrase that the writer of Hebrews writes. He talks about like brothers and sisters, have confidence to go where? To the most holy place. He's talking to people that are Jews, and there was a holy place, and then there was a most holy place. And the most holy place was a place where the priest would go in once a year and offer a sacrifice of atonement. And he's telling them, have confidence that you can walk in there, that you can stand before a holy God, and you can be encouraged because your sins are forgiven, your conscience is clean, not because of who you are, but because of what he did on the cross. He's telling them this. He's saying, this is how real it is. You're discouraged, but understand that you need to have confidence to enter that place. Here's why. Because we need to draw near to God. He says, let us draw near to God. The most amazing place that you can draw near to God is in a circle. Because the main purpose of a circle is to draw near to God in community. You read the entire New Testament, and their whole frame of doing life was around meals. It was around activities. It was doing life. It wasn't a service, so to speak. They came to hear the guy preach and have a service. They could come together and watch healings take place. They could come together and be encouraged. But during the week, they were together so that God could just see his glory placed upon them. Let us draw near to God in community, together. Why would he use the word us? Because that's what the church is. It's ecclesia. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to have a relationship with the Holy God, to walk into that holy place. But it's also an invitation to have a relationship with the body of Christ, the Christians and believers. None of us are perfect. But guess what? It's a beautiful thing when we get to do life together and encourage one another. Come on, and encourage one another onto love and good deeds. So let's pray around that. Jesus, you're so amazing. Holy Spirit, you walked into this space. You healed bodies and minds. I believe you healed marriages. And God, I believe that you did something just special in this place. God, I believe it continues as we draw near to you in community. Lord, may we be encouraged to encourage one another. May we find hope and encouragement. May we put the effort in, Jesus, to be a part of community, to find a place. If it's a growth place, if it's a social place, if it's an outreach and care place, God, whatever that place is, God, Lord, you have a space for us. Some of us in this room, God, I believe will, in the next year, in this year, they won't just attend a circle. God, they're going to lead a circle. God, I believe that you can double the amount of circles that we can see take place, so that more community can take place, so that more people can walk in and encourage one another and walk in and be encouraged. Jesus, we honor you. One simple question. You're here today, and you walked in discouraged. but you're going to walk out encouraged today. Would you just wave at me and say, that's me. I walked in discouraged, but today I'm walking out encouraged. Come on now. Just wave by faith. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Jesus. Lord, you're letting me know that God, that word that you spoke to me is for each of us in this room, God. Have your way, God. Continue to encourage us. Lord, for somebody that's away from you in this moment, may they come into a relationship with you first and foremost. Jesus, you came to build your church, and your church has a relationship with you first. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, my relationship with Jesus isn't what it should be. I'm away from him, or I'm far away from him. Today is a day to draw close. Today is a day to know who he is. If that's you, when I say three, would you just slip your hand and wave at me? I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. You ready? One, two. You're like, I'm making a brand new decision. Three. Slip it up. There you go. 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 Come on. There you go. Come on. There you go. Boy, God's good. Come on. He's moving. Come on. Anybody else? You're like, that's me. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new. You can put it down. Pray this simple prayer with Pastor. This is where all things become brand new, the word says. Pray this prayer. We'll pray it with you. It sounds like this. Jesus, today, I need a Savior. I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. From this moment on, I believe you got a plan. Work your plan in my life. I say yes to following you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our Ocean Way Church podcast today. Listen, we would love to connect with you in person. Find out more information at oceanwaychurch.com. And we very much appreciate your continued support to our ministry. There's five easy ways to give. You can find those right there on our website as well. Listen, remember, at Ocean Way Church, this is home.